This is Robert Balgach, and welcome to the Black Swan Secrets podcast. Our focus here is to help you grow as a producer and as a business owner in the life insurance industry. Enjoy the ride. Disclaimer: past performance is not indicative of future results. Strategies discussed in this podcast may not be suitable for you, and you should make your own independent decision regarding them. This material does not take into account your particular objectives, financial situation, or needs, and is not intended as recommendations appropriate for you. Good morning, good morning. Today is November 17th. The year is 2022. Great time to be alive in this crazy world. And today we have another good session. We're going to go over the numbers. And then Coach K is going to share with us one of his big takeaways on the building side. So let's see if we can just go through the numbers first. Let's see here. Okay, so far this week, this is where we are. So Tristan is having a pretty good week. So six deals already for $42.97. Kerry Weissong so far, four deals, $42.66. Jamar, six deals at $39.43. Coach K has three deals at $3,086. John Cranford, three deals, $27.58. Marsha has two at $26.18. Erica has two at $22.92. John Moncrest still at one, $15.14. Sergio Chacon, our part-timer, he got three deals so far, $13.65. Maristella has one. Mindy has two. Crystal Bowden has one. Larry Johnson one. And then we have our brand new writer here, Carly Stahl. So she wrote her first two applications yesterday. So let's see if we maybe get a little preview from Carly. What happened there? How does it feel? Let's see if we can get her on. Carly, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry, I'm on my phone, so my camera doesn't work, but I'm here.
Okay, so tell us about this experience, right? The first step is always the most sweating heavy experience.
You know. Yeah, no, for sure. As soon as I got my leads and then the campaign started, my phone was blowing up. So yeah, it was pretty overwhelming. But once I just like made some dials, I felt more comfortable. And I don't know, people seem to like me on the phone. So it was going really well. Okay. I actually only have one bad number throughout all 50 leads.
That was it. Okay. So that is good. And tell us, Carly, tell us about this client. I mean, what was it all about? What type of solution did you find for them?
Yeah, so for like the one lady, she didn't really have like a beneficiary. Like she has some, I finally talked to her, I was like, any nieces or nephews maybe. And she was a little skeptical at first, but I think we got a really good plan. We ended up going with Aetna, because at first we were going to do Foresters, but I think it was a little too like complicated for her. And anyways, I think the whole life policy will be better with Aetna. And then the other guy, he was really sweet. He has a wife and he was like really excited, but he kept like every time I would try to run the appointment, he like wasn't at home. He was always like running around in the car, like driving around. And yeah, I was like, all right, like, is this still a good time? Are you sure? Like, I felt bad asking all these questions and getting information, but no, I think he's going to be really happy with the products.
Okay. So two different clients, two different apps all in one day.
Yep.
Not bad. And also, I know you've been working with Kerry Weissong closely. So what type of support did you receive closing these deals? How did you approach that?
I mean, she was so helpful because, yeah, at first I was just like pretty nervous. So pretty much like I would just have her on the phone with me. And yeah, she's amazing. I mean, she just kind of like would take over and kind of explain things. I would jot down some notes, like a lot of her verbiage and stuff that she uses. But yeah, no, Carrie's been so helpful with all this. I'm glad that she's my manager.
Yeah, that is good. And so we are super happy for you, Carly. Two apps on pretty much the first full day. That is great. And also, let me unmute Carrie Weisong. I know she's been working very close with her. And what was your experience with those leads, Carrie? How's Carly doing?
So this is she's doing fantastic. I don't know what correction I would even make at this point. But you know, I don't want to make Carly have too much pressure. You know, we all know that. And thank you for your kind words, Carly, by the way. So she is doing, and if I could be speaking to anybody that's new, she's doing what all of us, Robert, Marsha Lee, Coach K, you want somebody to just jump in the deep end. And it's so scary because you can overthink things. And yeah, we decided together that she's going to do the Ethos leads instead of the IVRs. So she's never even touched those. And, you know, I'm obviously still learning those as well. But just like you heard her say, the leads just started pouring in. I'm hearing from her at 8 a.m. So she's not like enjoying her coffee for 3 hours and then leisurely going to maybe see how she fits this in. She's being very intentional. This is what I'm doing this week. She's communicating with me constantly so that I can guide her early days. But yeah, just jump right in the deep end. You heard her say it. She's scared. But you just do it anyway. And I'm the safety net for her. So like she said, how better for a student than for the teacher to be, you know, for them to be listening literally to the teacher and how the flow goes on the call. So yeah, she's been very receptive. She's her dialing. So she's not getting through like 10 dials a day. She just went through it. You know, she went through them all. I don't know how she only got one bad number. That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. But yeah, she's connecting with the people. I can tell this is only one day. So I can tell she's connecting with the people. They seem to like her. So when she brings me on the phone, I can tell she's already bonded with these people. And that's important because sometimes you're so nervous that you're like reading a script and you just sound like a robot to somebody. And somehow Carly is just not doing that. She's just saying, you know, I'm just going to be me. Hi, Bob. You hear how she sounds. That is how she's talking to these people. And so they're like, yeah, and I want to set an appointment. Actually, her first guy, I think, Carly, he's the one that said, yeah, I really like you. I trust you. So yeah, you know, and another one, the lady, she just started rambling off her bank account number. So trusted her. So, and that's highly unusual. Obviously, Carly, don't expect that to happen again.
Yeah.
Carly is leaving. Into just being her authentic self and how she talks and how she connects to people in the real life. I know you're taking care of your grandpa. So you have like this nurturing side of you and you're allowing yourself to let that flow. So guys, just like everyone else here, you can tell by her picture, she's more youthful than I am, but she still has a very full life with some health things have happened, family polls, you know, she's got her regular job. And yeah, she's just going for it. So right now, Carly, you're the one to beat as far as I'm concerned.
Thanks, Carrie.
No, that is good. And guys, I just cannot emphasize how important it is for the new agent to go and reach out to their upline, right? Especially in the beginning. We're going to give you all the training that we got. We're going to give you everything. But at the same time, you still need help. And I can tell you, when I was running my first leads and I got into a confusing situation, I was giving Dick Sylvester a call. And I'll just hand off the phone and let Dick do the magic, right? And I don't remember how many times I called him, but I would say, you know, you need to go through at least 10 appointments with some help. And we're going to be there. We're not going to let you down. Your upline is most likely an elite producer. So they sold hundreds of these. They are fully incentivized to go and help you close these deals. So use them. You know, don't try to be, you know, that you need to know everything on day one and then you're waiting and then you're reading these underwriting guides and you're in a non-money-making time. So leverage your upline, whether that's Carrie Weisong or Marsha Sechrest or Lee Corbett or Coach K, or Tristan, or Landon, whatever. Just go and use them and they will help you close the sale. And next thing you know, Carly writes two apps in one day, and that is just the beginning. So great job, ladies. That's the teamwork. That's how it works. So that's so far our week. We still have two days, a little bit slow so far, but we have a lot of ground to make up today, tomorrow. And Coach K had some thoughts to share with us this morning on the building side. So Coach K.
All right. So Thursday, we talk about building and recruiting, right? So just a few things. So one of the things was I was going through this other book the other day. It's called Build by a guy named Tony Faddle. And he is the guy that he started the company Nest. And he'd also been a big part with, I can't remember if he was like one of the main guys with the iPhone or the iPod. I think it was the iPod, right? Which was a big deal, right? When that came out, it really shook things up there. But basically what he was talking about is that he always wanted a team that was mission focused. And he has a chapter in the book called F Massages, right? And it was the full four letter word there, right? And the reason he was saying that is there's a lot of companies where he was in San Francisco that recruit people, and they're like, oh, we got free massages and we got this and that, all these perks, you know, and all these things. And he said what happened was that culture became very entitled. And he was talking about Google specifically. Right. And Google, you know, they're crushing it, and they kind of had so much money that they could do these things. Right. And they were giving people free food, like really good, high quality food, you know, and then they were, you know, giving people they had like snack stations on each floor and everything like that. But here's just an example of the stuff that started happening. And Google, too, was giving people good presents at Christmas. So like every year they give them like they give them like their top laptop, or they give them like their top smartphone, and people would start complaining about it. Like, well, I can't believe they just gave us this like top of the line Google phone and things like that. Right. And it got to the point where he gave the example where there was someone there having a company-wide meeting in their like big auditorium or whatever. And someone stood up and they said, it's uncalled for that I have to walk down two floors to get my favorite yogurt from the snack station, right? And these are the things that happens. It's like, I do not want a company like that. And he was really, and that's where he got to the point where he's like, you know what, F massages, F all these things. I want people who are here because they want to build something. Like they really want to do something, right? And so we started Nest. And he was basically had this obsession about thermostats. They would drive him crazy, you know, and he was talking about how they never really worked the way he wanted to and everything like that. And everybody thought he was nuts. They're like, man, just like give it up and whatever. But he's like, no, I'm going to figure this out. And he did. And he got a bunch of other people on board that felt the same way. And they showed up. They put their heads down and they worked. And he made it very clear. He's like, listen, if you want massages and all these things, like, you know, this isn't going to be the place for you. And, you know, they started very bare bones. You know, they had the desks with the sawhorses and a piece of plywood, and people showed up, they worked, and they did some great things. Right. But I think that's something that you want to find with your people too, when you're recruiting, is that they're driven to do big things and build, right? And really take things to the next level that way, right? So when we talk about, you know, we've talked about before in the past 10X and things, right? And really the fastest way you can 10X something is finding someone that's a builder, right? Finding like a Robert, right? Or whoever else out there, a John Kite, whoever on your team, right? That can go out there and build that big organization underneath you. Because like we're talking about it, you know, a guy like Jamar, he's a stud. I love Jamar, but it's going to be really hard for him to 10X his business, right? By himself, right? So the only way he's going to be able to do that is by recruiting, right? And that's really all of us, right? So I know certainly for me to 10X what I'm doing, it's probably not going to be possible, right? So, you know, only so many hours in the day and everything else. So that's really it. But the name of the game is is if you can think long term, right? If you think long term, you're going to win, right? And really, it's not only think long term, plan long term, and act long term. Because if you get caught up in recruiting in the day to day, the week to week, month to month, it's not always going to be what you want, right? There's going to be people that you think are going to be studs that are going to come out on here and kill it. They turn out to be duds and vice versa. You think you got this person that's going to be dud, you don't know how they're going to make it, and they turn out to be an absolute stud. It's hard to tell who's going to make it. And it's funny because the numbers are the numbers. And, you know, that's one of the great things about Robert is he shows the numbers, and like we try to tweak things and do everything. And Dick and Connie have seen these things over the years too. Now things have gone digitally, and there's some things that have made things easier, but the numbers still end up being the numbers with the people who you find, like how many people are actually going to go out there and make it. So it does become like, you know, how many people can you get in there and really go there? But you got to be thinking long term. So if you look at a guy like a Warren Buffett, right? So everything that him and Charlie Munger were looking at when they were investing was long term, right? And, you know, someone once asked them and said, hey, when's the best time to sell a company? He goes, well, it took me 40 years to figure this out. He goes, but if you got a winner, you don't sell it, you keep it, right? With the cash flow and everything like that. I've kind of talked about this with some other of the leaders on the team. And, you know, a lot of the people that do sell out their business, I just don't understand it. Like, why kill the golden goose, right? You know, so that's one of the things. But if you're thinking long term, you're not going to sell out, right? And that can get you in trouble, right? So with thinking with long term as well, if you look at, like I'm talking about with Warren Buffett and his buddy Charlie Munger there, everything they thought about, they're like, hey, we want this to be a good long-term steady investment, and look at where they're at now, right? And those guys, you know, they had a lot of years where they're just learning things and everything like that. And their business didn't really start taking off until those guys got into their upper 50s, lower 60s. And then things really started taking off on an exponential curve. And he kind of gets into that in his book, the Snowball Effect, right? But that's just the power of thinking long term, and all those things compound. So even if you found like one good person a year, you know, the time's going to pass anyway. You're going to be working it anyway, right? It's worth it, right? It's worth it. That person finding one stud a year is totally worth it to you. So if you have that long-term focus about recruiting, that's going to go a long way, right? So, that's really the name of the game, I'd say, with all that. And it comes back down to those four C's that we've talked about, that Dan Sullivan talks about too, right? So number one is, you gotta be, the first C is be committed, right? The second C is you gotta have courage, right? Because recruiting isn't always comfortable, right? You're not always gonna see that ROI real fast like we typically see with when we buy leads, right? It takes time to get someone through, get them set up, ready to go, right? And the thing with courage too is it doesn't feel good, right? It doesn't feel good to run into that burning building. You know, it's a scary thing at times, but once you start getting good at it, right, you start building a few people in there, you start developing those skills, right? Or what they call the competence, right? That's the third C, right? And then you got confidence, right? So now if you look at a guy like Robert, Dick Connie, you know, Lee, he's built a bunch of different teams. They have that confidence. They're like, okay, I've got that long-term perspective about things. And they just keep at it with the recruiting nonstop, right? And they know that over time, it's going to work out for them, right? So, and really progress, when you see progress like that, that starts to light you on fire. And a lot of the time when people see a little progress with the recruiting, then all of a sudden their business starts taking the upshot, right? Because they see that it works, they start doing more recruiting, start spending more energy, and that's because they've developed those skills, right? So that's the name of the game with all that, with recruiting there. So that's all I got to say on that today.